You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So I heard a story about a neighborhood in Long Island that they've kind of instituted an old-fashioned barter system. You know, rather than everybody go all out at once to stay safe in a pandemic, they've got a barter system in place. And I love this idea. And my hope is that we can have a similar type system in my neighborhood. So with that being said, I would like to trade my teenage daughter to anybody who has a box of envelopes, a teenage daughter for a jar of Tang. Any takers?
Come on. She's perfect. The work's almost done, Danger. What are you talking about?
I know. What do I have to complain about? You're in the sports bar. After hours, I'm Mike Danger. He's Gene Battaglia. We together, perfect in every way. Thank you so much for enjoying this podcast here on the radio.com app, ESPNRochester.com, and wherever you enjoy podcasts. It's been a full week, Gino, since you and I have gathered here in the sports bar to get caught up on what's happening in the world of sports or what's not happening in the current world of sports. But we do have some developments. We are getting closer, it feels like, to some relevant action in some of these professional sports leagues that we cherish so much. Where do you want to start this evening, Gino?
Well, and certainly let's talk about the NHL. Let's talk about MLB. Are we going down the road of Sabres dysfunction? The pilot story today, I don't want to take it at face value, meaning is this a negotiating ploy, or is it just simply an athlete looking at his options and realizing, hey, if the NHL season does resume, you might have the cup hoisted in September. If that's the case, well, then when does the next season start? I want to play, so see you, Sabres, and I'll go over here for a little bit, and maybe I can hop on with another organization, or is this just get me out of Buffalo at any cost? I mean, when I think of Lawrence Pilot, I think of our conversation we had with Randy Sexton, and at the time, and this was early on last season, he said that the Sabres didn't want to yo-yo players. When Lawrence Pilot was up in Buffalo but not playing, but what ended up happening at the end of the year? They kind of yo-yoed him, and he was in Rochester the whole time. So here's somebody that, to me, doesn't seem like he was happy with his role last year, but I think he's weighing all his options right now. And if you want to play next year and you're not on one of these playoff teams, then, yeah, maybe you do got to go take the money, because if you're a Buffalo Sabre / Rochester American, you might be waiting till November, perhaps December, to hit the ice again.
Yeah, I mean, we discussed this yesterday at length in the sports bar with Brayton Wilson from our radio.com sports sister station, WGR in Buffalo. The idea that not being in this new return to play format that the NHL has laid out, the Sabres will have essentially a 9-month layoff. If we were in the studio right now, I'd play the Ferris Bueller drop 9 times. 9 month layoff with no hockey for these guys. Now, you know, if you're like me, you try to take a negative and turn it into a positive. 9 months gives you a lot of time to build cohesion, a lot of time to find players that'll make up your roster in 2020 and 2021. And that is a season, let's face it, you have to make the postseason. Jason Botterill's future is going to be dependent on this team breaking this playoff drought. Now 9 seasons, again, 9 times that they have failed to make the postseason. Jason Botterill, not a lot to stand on. And Jason Botterill today, in speaking to the media at the conclusion of the Sabres season, you know, really not saying anything that we haven't already heard. More lip service, and I think fans increasingly and deservedly frustrated with Bottrell's performance thus far, with the team's performance, obviously, and the comments made yesterday to the AP, to John Warrow, the AP, by Kim Pegula, just more gasoline on the fire for fans who want to love the Sabres, but right now hate the Sabres.
Yeah, I don't think anything Jason Bottrell can say right now is going to make it better. Ralph Krueger is going to speak on Friday. I'm not really interested in Ralph Krueger's thoughts. He seems like a nice guy, but nothing he's going to say is going to make all this better. The comments to John Worrell by Kim Pegula, the thing that jumps out to me, the one quote that fans don't understand the inner workings and why Jason deserves another shot. I'm sorry. That's a little bit of a misfire there. Don't talk down to the Buffalo fan base. We understand what's going on. We understand why you brought him back. Heck, we were on the air when the possibility of the shutdown here was happening. We're saying, my gosh, this is going to save Jason Bottrell's job. Because yes. This is not the time you make a change. So just kind of just say that and leave it at that. But don't tell me there's things we don't know about. What is it that we don't know? You need to be transparent with your fan base then. And that,
well, here's the
to
thing,
me, that
Gino,
was just a quote. Oh.
That comment and that quote, you know, it upset a lot of fans. And I think the reason why it upset a lot of fans is she's right. There are things that he does on a daily basis in that organization that we don't know or don't understand that they might find value in, more value than we as fans can comprehend. That's true of any organization where you scratch your head and you're like, how does this guy have a job? Well, there's a reason why he has a job, and it might be for things that we don't see on the ice, or we don't see, you know, over the course of a season. And we take offense to that because of the tone, because of the track record, because we know they're billionaire owners that want to live a certain lifestyle, and the way that they've mishandled, you know, everything really through this pandemic for the most part. I mean, there's been a handful of bright spots and you know, local donations to charities here locally that have, you know, helped during the COVID pandemic. But the tone didn't print very well if you're Kim Pegula, and fans, you know, have a right to be upset at what she said. But I think more than upset, it stings, because I think there's some truth to what she's saying, that we, the hardcore fans, see what's going on, don't like what's going on, but don't entirely know what or why and how it's going on the way it's going on behind closed doors.
I don't think it's that deep. I honestly think you can say Jason Bottrell, here's the track record. And, you know, we applied the logic, I guess, for the Buffalo Bills when you're going through 17 years. Well, the Sabre drought now is the longest in the National Hockey League, and Jason Bottrell doesn't own that. But you know what? He has to wear it, okay? Just like Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean had to wear it when they came in. So when Jason Bottrell came in, what was the one word we kept hearing over and over again?
Development.
Where I liken it to a four-letter swear word, development, okay? It's, okay, development hasn't worked. Not when one of your prized prospects is saying, you know what, I'd rather go play in Russia. Because Russia is a fountain of stability compared to the Buffalo Sabres, all right? No, it's not development at all when you're into your prospects' bolts like that. Unless this is some negotiating ploy to get himself traded off the Buffalo roster, but I'm talking about Lawrence Pilot, of course. But the fact that Redman kind of left the Amherst, and you know, the Sabres never gave him a two-way contract. The fact that, you know, you never got a goalie. Year four, you're certainly not going to have Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen ready. You don't have that situation all settled. Things should be further along. And I don't even want to include the O'Reilly trade in there, because that is a disaster unto itself, okay? But beyond that, what are some of the good things that Jason Bottrell did? I don't care, honestly, like what is going on in terms of the balance sheet and in terms of how the office morale is or anything that Kim Pegula might be referring to. It doesn't matter. Fans don't give a shit about that danger. They care about what is on the ice. And this product on the ice, as documented by Greg Wyshynski, is the most dysfunctional in the National Hockey League, not named Ottawa. Right.
I don't blame fans for feeling the way they feel. And I think the reason why they feel the way they feel after hearing those comments is because there's some truth to that, those comments. And it stings a little bit. And it makes you believe that they really don't care about the product that they're putting on the ice. And the only message I would have to fans is, if you really want to make a statement, you know, take your outrage and save a few bucks. Stop going to the games. Believe me, that will hurt them more than anything. You've seen that, and they've made it publicly known, they have a certain way of life that they want to be able to lead. And if they can't lead that way of life, then they will make dumb choices in order to continue to live that way of life. Stop going to games. Stop. You know, I mean, it got that way with the Bills. How many times did people cancel their season tickets during the draft? I mean, you heard about it all the time. I used to go every year. Yeah, it just ain't what it used to be. I'm done with that team. And eventually, they get it right. Eventually, it comes back around. But for now, I wouldn't blame you if you were a Sabres fan that heard those comments from Kim Pegula, that heard Jason Bottrell speak today, just said, you know what? More of the same bullshit. I'm done. I don't want to have my season tickets extended into next year. I'm done. Cancel my season tickets. I'll save a few bucks. I'm done lining the pockets of billionaires for an inferior product that they really don't care about.
Yeah, and I think the sad thing is we could say that, but I feel the fact that now—
Stop going. No, seriously, stop going. You're all bitching about the arena. The arena needs renovations. You know, everything sucks. Well, the everything's overpriced.
Where you're bringing, yeah, in any other year, that's the case, but I have a reliable source that— You know, when it comes to college hockey, that capacities are going to be when we return to sports. Yeah, a lot of people could stay away, and it's not going to matter because every arena will be at what 25% capacity or whatever that they're going to start out with in December, January, and hopefully we get to that point.
The sports bar after hours reaction to the comments made by Kim Pegula.
It definitely is. After Jason hours, Bottrell. Buddy, if we could drop it as
well. Look, yeah, we have a platform, a little pirate ship here that we can kind of get away with a little bit more than we would in our normal surroundings. But yes, I mean, listen, you're a fan of this team and you have that kind of frustration. You're done. You're done with hearing the same crap over and over again from a GM who's underperformed at his position. And you've got a billionaire owner backing him up because he does things that we like. All right. Well, look, in her mind, she's speaking the truth. We might not like it, and that's why we get pissed. But that's the way she sees it. She could be completely over her head. I would argue that she might be completely over her head, right? I think a lot of people would believe that. A lot of people would say bring in a president of hockey operations. I don't know that they're going to do any of that. I don't know that they need to remove Jason Bottrell because I don't know that anything but continuity, especially during a pandemic when you have 9 months of a layoff, is the best thing for you. I mean, What is going to change into next season? Here's the biggest thing that I can think of heading into next season for the Sabres that could be a needle mover. And maybe the pilot story is a part of this. But if you're, we all recognize what the need is on this roster, right? It's secondary scoring and you don't have it and you haven't come close to getting it. You've tried to make moves. Marcus Johansson? No. You know, maybe Dominic Cahoon becomes something, you know, down the road, or maybe Dylan Cousins becomes something down the road and that development word pops its head up again. No, you want a difference maker right now. And what do you have that can get you a difference maker right now? Well, I would say if you're the Buffalo Sabres and you're picking seventh in the draft, that seventh pick is as good as gone. Trade that pick for a player that can come in now and be impactful. It has to be a hell of a player. It has to be somebody that's going to turn our heads and we'll know, all right, they fixed an issue. No different than what the Buffalo Bills did in the NFL when they knew, we need a quarterback. We're not going to win games with Tyrod Taylor. Let's do everything we have to do to get that player. You've got some really nice young pieces on this team, on this roster. Now you need that secondary scoring, that depth on your roster, some players that will be impactful, that will move the needle. The problem is, and the problem that's the holes that Sabres fans will shoot into this notion of trading away your first-round draft pick is you're going to give Jason Bottrell the chance to trade away a first-round draft pick. What are you going to get for that? Maybe my teenage daughter and the box of envelopes.
Well, and I'll take a kind of a different path here, and I understand what you're saying, and that would be kind of a, well, development. Win now, you know, all right.
You have to win now. More, this is the season. You have to win
well,
now.
Well, of course, but that's if you're Jason Bottrell, I know you don't want to hear this, but maybe just staying the course. I let me throw this scenario out here, and it's hard to kind of envision this, but we didn't see all of a sudden Jeff Skinner popping up on the trade block. And then all of a sudden, some August night, I get a text from Buffalo Bob, hey, we just got Jeff Skinner. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I didn't even know. Really? You're kidding. So what kind of player would be out there like that where you wouldn't need to give up a first-round pick? I'll tell you. It's the franchise that's close to being insolvent that needs to shed salary as quick as possible. And this is going to be Gary Bettman's problem, and we're really not going to know. And I don't think the Sabres are going to be this organization, at least I hope not, that everything will be status quo. But I would think that there's going to be some byproduct of a team that hasn't played since March, or maybe a team that gets bounced early, some team that has no cash flow going right now that maybe the league has to prop up or the owner has to shed salary. That if Jason Bottrell has his ear down to the grindstone, that he can actually, I'm mixing my metaphors, you get my point. If Jason Bottrell knows which team might be having some financial trouble, that's the team you go and attack. And you make a trade, and maybe you don't have to give up a first-round pick.
So you're only going to go shopping at the stores that are worse than your current store? I mean, you know, you're only going to shop at with the bottom feeders? I mean, you are a bottom feeder. I think you need to pluck from teams that have a little bit more of a winning culture, teams that have, you know, a player who has some experience in the postseason. And I think you thought you had that in a guy like Marcus Johansson. Just not enough.
I mean, no, you need more. That at all. I mean, the part of the story is I'm speculating that there would be a franchise out there, let's say a Winnipeg or whoever, something that might have success on the ice, but the fact that you haven't had fans or your local TV contract might be so poor. Sure. Any number of reasons right now that you got to shed salary, then that's the team you go make a play with.
So the 24-team return to play proposal. Announced at a press conference by Gary Bettman. Is the NHL actually smart by getting in front of this and being first to be public about their intentions? Or are they being just foolish again? Like, do we really believe that the NHL can pull this together and get some kind of competitive action back on the ice for fans to enjoy? And furthermore, is it even wise to have these kind of conversations knowing that this, you know, pandemic still exists, the virus is still out there, there still isn't a vaccine? Does a player need to die before we realize, hey, this is pretty serious, maybe we should pump the brakes a little bit on a return to play?
Yeah, and I will listen to the argument that, all right, okay, you're going to be back August 1st, and for what? You could have waited another month and started a new season, get everybody back into it that way. And as far as I know, can you cross the border now?
No.
I mean, no. So, right. So
the only way I can think about it, and I mentioned this to Brayton yesterday, you know, right now, I think in Canada, their death toll is somewhere like 6,000-7,000. It dwarfs, you know, our death total dwarfs Canada's. It is remarkable how many more deaths we have in America. And, you know, I think Canada is really the one imposing this border restriction because they don't want the dirty Americans coming across the border and infecting more of their citizens. But let's face it, if non-essential travel isn't permitted across the U.S.-Canadian border, what's more essential to Canada than hockey? They'll make an exception for the NHL when it comes to essential travel across the U.S.-Canadian border.
Yeah, that's why you're hoping by the 1st of July, usually when there's free agency period, that's when you'll have, you know, these restrictions kind of eased. And maybe in October, you know, maybe in August, we will have hockey. Maybe by mid-September, the cup is raised. At least there's a plan. At least Gary, that's the shocking thing to me. At least Gary Bettman, I can't believe it, actually showed a little bit of leadership here. Compared to Major League Baseball, where they unveil this sliding scale, hey, you know, if you're making the minimum wage, you'll get close to it. But hey, if you're, you know, somebody that's making $10 million, you're really going to get whacked here for Major League Baseball. It's almost like the owners in baseball put something out there so ridiculous as far as a strategy here to get the players to cave. Baseball, this seems like baseball from 1994, where you just have a lot of bad blood right now between the owners and the players. And we as sports fans don't have an appetite for this. And this is the sport that should be starting off new. And we would accept a different season. And you could get on board with empty stadiums, but at least you're watching games. But to me, as far out with the border being closed and whatnot, with hockey being the way it is, it seems like baseball seems further away than hockey right now than a return.
Yeah, and by the way, like, I don't know that I'm going to give Gary Bettman any credit. I see that you have put together a plan, but I don't know that the plan is as concrete as people want to say. I think the only thing that's really concrete about it is who would be in and the 24 teams that we'd be playing. We don't know the dates. We don't know where. You still don't know how your lottery is going to work, right? Well, you have seven teams and then plus another five to the first five teams that get bounced or something like that. Like, none of it is really set in stone other than, we've got an idea for a 24-team return-to-play format that will lead to a tournament. Like, okay, so what else? I mean, basically, you've got a framework in place should you get a green light, but you still don't have dates. You still don't have venues. You don't know where any of this is going to happen. And I think baseball is going to go through the same thing. And by the way, I'll take it a step further. I think there are players out there. I know that there are players out there that right now, they don't want to play. They don't want to be forced to play. They recognize that there's an inherent risk with exposing yourself to other teammates, other people, not knowing where they've been and be, you know, playing in contact sports. There's, again, I said it earlier, like, is an athlete going to have to die? I don't want to see that happen. I hope that doesn't happen, but that might get the attention of everybody else and recognize, hey, this is bigger than the dollar bill. This is bigger than the TV contracts. This is bigger than the competition. And you know, I want to see it. In fact, I'm so excited for a return to any kind of competitive action. I mean, I think we're all feeling that. I think that the ratings for the match over the weekend with Tiger and Phil and Brady and Manning kind of show that we are ready for more competition, more action. In fact, when it comes back, I'm worried that we're going to overdose. We can't help ourselves at the buffet. We're just going to go back for seconds, thirds. I mean, think about your most sloth-like Sunday of watching NFL football and then multiply that when we get a return to action in any sport. We're going to want to consume it all at once. And I don't know that that's the healthiest thing for us either, Gino.
Yeah, well, I hope that we don't look back in this period and be like, wow, we lost so-and-so and we lost this person for what? And you bring up players, what about a 67-year-old Bill Belichick or somebody like that, somebody who's more in risk that's going to have to be going out there and coaching these players. There's so many unknowns. And I guess I'm giving Gary Bettman credit on the Bettman scale danger. Usually anything Gary Bettman says, easily mocked. At least they're out there saying, this is how it's going to look. We don't know the start date, and we don't know our hubs. Now, the hubs, that seems like you should be right on top of that right now. You should be getting deals with the hotels. You should be getting something with an arena. It doesn't need to be. You could play it in any old rink. That might actually be fun. I just ask you one question. When the cup gets hoisted in an empty arena, does Gary Bettman still get booed?
I was hoping that he was going to get booed at the press conference. I'm not sure if that happened or not. But, any opportunity to boo Bettman, I think you have to take. In an empty arena, who's booing Bettman? The coaches, the assistants, the training staff?
The arena manager? What? Boo.
Yeah, boo. Terrible. Well, we await to see what the next steps are in that. It is encouraging at least to hear that there may be a return to play, but I still think there are so many obstacles in the way of that plan becoming a reality. And I think you're going to have a lot of resistance, not just from smart people in the medical field, elected officials, community leaders, and by the way, players. I do think you're going to have resistance from players.
What are the players thinking? What are they hearing at home? Is this really worth it? I mean, I'm sure that, they're getting a lot in their head and they got to weigh the risk and everything else. So, and should we shame an athlete if they decide, I'm going to sit this one out? So, take the Buffalo Bills, for example. If there is a Buffalo Bill on that 53-man roster, a starter that says, I'm just going to sit this year out, are we thinking less of that man? I know a lot of people will vilify that player, but you can be assured that some player in the NFL is going to say, what? Not this year. I'll resume next year.
All right, before we close up shop here for this episode of the Sports Bar After Hours, Gino, you brought up the Buffalo Bills, and we always look forward to getting an opportunity to see them up close in our own backyard at training camp here at St. John Fisher College in beautiful Pittsburgh. However, there's been speculation for years that, especially with the Bills building their new training facility, that they would follow suit with other NFL teams and actually start their training camps on their team facilities rather than taking it off site the way they do every year at St. John Fisher College. And we've heard throughout the Bean McDermott era that they love coming to St. John Fisher, that they appreciate the staff, the hospitality, the camaraderie that comes with a camp off site. And we found out a little bit more. We had a little bit more color added to what this summer's training camp might look like. Should it proceed at St. John Fisher? What do we know?
We had from over the weekend the report by the icon, Mike Catalano, that he's hearing that Sean McDermott's preference is to come to Fisher. And what? You're kidding me. Well, he wants that, apparently according to this, that team bonding puts a lot of value into it, but that does not mean that fans will be allowed. It would be a closed camp at St. John Fisher College. I as much as I want this to happen, at least to have the comfort of knowing, hey, the Bills are coming to town, even though we can't watch them, or maybe we can drive by 490 and kind of catch a peek. It seems logistically, I'll give you one example, something that's out of the sight of the fans, and that's where the Bills dine. You'd have to figure out something new because it's in that hall that the Bills go over and eat all their meals. It's kind of laid out like a buffet. You'd have to come up with some other, way to feed the players. You would have to have massive security on the St. John Fisher campus, because you could say camp is closed, but you're still going to get people, wandering over trying to catch a glimpse. Fans are fans. They want to try to meet Josh Allen. So you can say things are closed, but are they really going to be closed? I want to see it happen. But I'm just skeptical that maybe this is what McDermott wants, but ultimately might not be his decision.
Yeah, and the expense, I mean, if you want to follow all paths lead to the dollar bill, and the expense of taking your team off site and moving all of that equipment and, packing it up and bringing it back and everything that goes with it. Hey, look, it's the NFL. They're printing money, even though everybody's going to be going through a little bit of a harder time here through the pandemic. I think NFL owners are still good for it. I would still be surprised if they went ahead and had training camp at St. John Fisher College, even if it was without fans. And I think when we look back at this period of time when sports does resume, although without fans, and by the way, I think also without media, and I think teams are going to push for that, like, hey, keep your media away from our teams. We don't want any of that potential for infection. I think that's what we will miss more than anything. The media access, the access, and I'm saying this somewhat selfishly as somebody in the media, we love being a part of it. We love being a part of the action and hearing the stories and being up close and seeing the players and talking to the players and getting their take on what's going on. But I think that will be the thing that fans, they'll miss, going to games, but they'll also miss the debates, the stories, the drama that the media provides throughout the course of a season. And if you don't have media access at training camp or at the preseason or through the regular season, the NFL will feel different because there are no fans in the stands. It'll also feel different in the way you watch it and the stories that you hear around it, because you won't have as much media coverage around these leagues as we're accustomed to.
Well, yeah, and you could be somebody that says, what do I care? I don't need you. I can get the stories from the team website. The Vontae Davis story, where he walks out at halftime, okay? If the media is not allowed down into the locker room afterward, do you think that story is told truthfully? No. I mean, do you think that people would have put... that's just one example of why... I don't want to get all preachy, but you need that watchdog, just not in sports, but every walk of life, just to keep people honest and accountable. And to have a sports media, I don't say free reign, I don't say you get to walk into restricted places, but the ability to ask questions, to figure out what the story is, And I'm biased. I think we have a lot of great D guys here in Western New York. And I would imagine that with the partners that the NFL has, let's take ESPN, for example. ESPN pays a lot of money. Well, they sure as heck going to want Marcel Louis-Jacques in the locker room. There's so much to figure out on that. But for safety reasons, I could see this year alone, everybody kind of biting the bullet, taking a back seat. And if you want to talk to Josh Allen, well, we'll set it up where you can Zoom him on Wednesday right at noon, and that will be your only access.
That'll be it. And boy, that just it's like everything else. It's not necessarily worse. It's just different. And sometimes different can be better. Sometimes it's just like, I don't know. I still need to get used to it. Zoom calls, boy, put that on top of the list. I still am having a hard time getting used to dialogue and conversations over a Zoom call. And Gino, I'm having a hard time with this. I mean, we're recording our show via the internet, through a website, rather than doing it in person and live from our cozy confines of our High Falls studios. It's a new world. It's not necessarily bad. It's just different. Some good can come from it. I just don't know that less access by the media in these locker rooms and around these teams is going to be a good thing long term for how these sports perform in terms of being, you know, in terms of fans wanting to consume them even more.
Well, there are some sports that desperately need fan, you know, reporters to come out. The NFL is not one of them. So that'll be one thing that is going to change. But if you told me right now, hey, we will have games in Buffalo, but we will not have fans at least at the outset, but you'll get your 16 games in, I think the majority of us would sign up for that in a second.
I still have a hard time believing that the NFL will have games without fans, but we you know what? Who can predict what will happen tomorrow, let alone a few months down the road? It's an ever-changing situation. And Gino, maybe by the end of the week, we're able to get haircuts. Not that you have to worry about that anymore, my man.
No, I took it in my own hands, man. I like one of our coworkers, Audrey, says I look like a badass.
You do look like a badass. I told you, Walter White. You go back and watch Breaking Bad now. When are we going to cook?
I've gotten into Ozark. That's the one that I'm just like, wow. I mean, I feel a lot better about my life after watching that. So
it's the end of our episode, Gino. And I think before we leave, we have to make an announcement and we'll tag him when we post this. It should have been our lead, but we want to give him, the proper send off. We got official confirmation yesterday. At some point we will invite him on before the move is actually made. But we got word earlier this week that sports bar favorite Master Stroke will be relocating. He and his family will be relocating to sunny Tampa, Florida. He's going to be working down there, and a guy that we've worked with is co-workers, a guy that we've considered a friend, and a guy that's been awesome as a contributor into the sports bar for just his wild misses in terms of making Buffalo Bills predictions. We'll always remember Master Stroke. We'll always love Master Stroke. And you're right. You know what? A good idea would be to have him come on with us for a farewell send-off, and we'll have one final Buffalo Bills conversation prior to the season getting underway here this fall.
People are saying it's bittersweet. To me, it's just bitter. I am going to miss Master Stroke. Because,
yes, I was bummed. I mean, I was sad, Gino. I was really in a funk when I found out. I'm like, oh man, my buddy's moving. I hate that.
Yeah, I guess it's sweet because he is getting a heck of an opportunity, and we can kind of scoff at Tampa. Tampa's a nice area.
No, jealous. I'm jealous. Yeah. I'll come right out and say it. Like, I don't want to live in Florida in the summertime, but give me Florida from January through April all day. I will take that. And I think most of us here in Western New York would take that. And a lot of people do adhere to that policy and get to live that life. Some of us are able to pull the trigger on that, and some of us aren't. And Master Stroke, to his credit, was able to pull the trigger. He's moving down there permanently. And he's still going to remain a Bills fan. You know, the Bills and the Bucks, I think, in 2021, I think is what he was saying. So we'll keep tabs on what Master Stroke is doing, but he won't be as frequent a contributor in the sports bar, being that he's out of pocket moving forward.
Yeah, I just think, we've been lucky to have him as a friend. And when I tell you that none of his takes were scripted, that he is the ultimate Bills fan, they can do no wrong. And I'm sure when he comes on with us one last time,
14-2.
Oh, I was going to say 16-0.
Oh, of course.
I mean, he's like definitely, you know, Bills, Bucks, Super Bowl. You know, I don't even know what direction he's going to go in. That really hurt Masterstroke going down. But gosh, Tampa, Northern Virginia, Charlotte. Isn't this where all Rochesterians go eventually, those few areas? In fact, I think you and Sandy are someday going to retire to Tarpon Springs, and I'll come down and I'll play around with you when that day comes, because I see you going to that coast in Florida someday.
You heard me. I'm jealous. I want that. I'm ready for that. I don't want to wait. I'm ready for it now. You know, like, let's go. I'm there. And you're absolutely right. Now, you know, listen, we are family men and we've got our kids still in high school, but I'm telling you, man, once we get the girls situated and they're off and running and they're in college and they're on their own. Yes. And yes, done and done. Let's go.
Masterstroke one last time. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Gino, we'll catch up again later on this week and we'll get set up before the weekend. What do you say?
Yeah, sounds good. Good talking to Danger.
You got it. It's the Sports Bar After Hours. We appreciate you listening here at the radio.com app, ESPNRochester.com, and wherever you enjoy podcasts. Back again with another episode tomorrow. Gino returns on Friday with more special guests here in the Sports Bar After Hours on ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.